This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. The confirmation hearing for Attorney General designate Alberto Gonzalez is over, and he spent a long and grueling day on the witness stand. The White House counsel faced searing questions yesterday, and not just from Democrats. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
You might have expected that the hearing for the first Hispanic nominated to be Attorney General would be something of a celebration of an American success story. After all, Alberto Gonzalez, the son of migrant workers with little formal education, became the only one of the 8 children in his family to go to college. He went on to Harvard Law School, became a partner in a prestigious Texas law firm, then served as counsel to the Texas governor, followed by a stint on the Texas Supreme Court, and then it was on to Washington with George W. Bush. But all of this got relatively little notice at yesterday's confirmation hearing, for Gonzalez has spent the last 4 years at the center of some of the most controversial legal policies of the war on terror. It was the memos he wrote and the memos he commissioned as White House counsel that were the focus of yesterday's hearing. First, there is the so-called torture memo of August 2002. At the time, the CIA was worried that aggressive interrogation tactics it wanted to use on captured al-Qaeda suspects could subject agency personnel to criminal prosecution for violating a federal law banning torture. So Gonzalez asked the Justice Department for a formal legal opinion on what constituted torture. The resulting memorandum defined torture narrowly. It said inflicting pain and suffering is not torture, rather that the pain must be akin to organ failure or death. Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy led off the questioning for the Democrats.
In August 2002, did you agree with that conclusion?
Senator, in connection with that opinion, I did my job as the counsel of the president to ask the question.
No, I just want to know, did you agree with that interpretation?
I don't recall today whether or not I was in agreement with all of the analysis, but I don't have a disagreement with the conclusions then reached by the department. Ultimately, it is the responsibility of the department to tell us what the law means, Senator.
Senator Edward Kennedy followed up.
Wasn't it obvious to you that someone can suffer severe physical pain without being in danger of organ failure? I mean, wouldn't the removal of fingers, for example, fall outside the definition of torture? And why we wouldn't have expected that you wouldn't have raised some kind of objection to it.
Senator, if I may.
Gonzalez replied that he hadn't interpreted the opinion that way.
Obviously, things like cutting off fingers, to me, that sounds like torture.
In any event, Gonzalez observed, the torture memo was withdrawn a week ago.
The August 1 OLC memo has been withdrawn. It has been rejected and does not represent the position of the executive branch.
That's your position now, but when you first saw it, and for a 2-year period when it was in effect, you didn't object to it.
That last was from Senator Edward Kennedy, who asked rhetorically if the memo would ever have been withdrawn if it had not been leaked to the press. Gonzalez, for his part, refused to disavow the memo entirely, prompting the ire of Republican Lindsey Graham of South Carolina.
I believe we have good people in the Department of Justice who did the very best they could interpreting, in my judgment, a difficult statute. So I think they did the very best they could.
Well, that's what I mean, you disagree. I think they did a lousy job.
Several senators pointed to the fact that it was not the career Justice Department lawyers who'd written the torture memo, as Gonzalez implied, but Bush political appointees. Republican Graham, himself an Air Force Reserve judge, was withering in his appraisal.
I think we've dramatically undermined the war effort by getting on a slippery slope in terms of playing cute with the law, because it's come back to bite us. And I think you weaken yourself as a nation and become more like your enemy instead of like who you want to be.
We are nothing like our enemy, Senator. While we are struggling mightily trying to find out what happened in Abu Ghraib, they are beheading people like Danny Pearl and Nick Berg.
Senator Kennedy asked the nominee if news reports were true that he had chaired meetings in which specific tactics were discussed, such as making detainees believe they were being drowned or buried alive.
Senator, I have a recollection that we had some discussions in my office. It is not my job to decide which type of methods of obtaining information from terrorists would be most effective. That job falls to folks within the agencies.
Well, just as a as an attorney, as a human being, I would have thought that if there were recommendations that were so blatantly and flagrantly over the line in terms of torture, that you might have recognized them. I understand you saying now that no matter what they recommended, it was not going to be anything in there that was going to be too bad or too outrageous for you to at least to raise some objection.
Democrat Joseph Biden told Gonzalez that it is his judgment that's been called into question, a judgment relied on by the president, who's not a lawyer.
He doesn't know from Shinola about the treaty, nor do previous presidents. That's why they have legal advisors.
The record, said Biden, indicates that both the State Department and the military brass had better judgment than the president's legal advisor. One aspect of the torture memo that's not been renounced by the administration is the section that declared the president has the inherent power to authorize specific acts, like torture, banned by the U.S. criminal law. The new memo issued last week sidestepped that question, as nominee Gonzalez tried to do yesterday, first in this exchange with Senator Leahy.
As Attorney General, would you believe the president has the authority to exercise a commander-in-chief override and immunize acts of torture?
First of all, Senator, the president has said we're not going to engage in torture under any circumstances. And so you're asking me to answer a hypothetical that is never going to occur.
That answer, of course, depends on what the administration's definition of torture is, as indicated later in this exchange with Wisconsin Democrat Russell Feingold.
I'm asking you whether, in general, the president has a constitutional authority to authorize violations of the criminal law when there are duly enacted statutes simply because he's commander-in-chief.
It is impossible to me, based upon the questions you presented to me, to answer that question. To the extent that there is a decision made to ignore a statute, I consider that a very significant decision, and one that I would personally be involved with. I commit to you.
Late in the day, the Judiciary Committee heard from military and human rights lawyers who castigated the judgments made in a variety of memos written or commissioned by nominee Gonzalez. But it was the torture memo that came in for the most scathing criticism. Yale Law School Dean Harold Coe served as Assistant Attorney General for Human Rights in the Clinton administration and in the Justice Department Office of Legal Counsel in the Reagan administration. The torture memo, he said, was the worst he'd ever seen.
The Bybee Memorandum is perhaps the most clearly legally erroneous opinion I have ever read. The way that it defines torture would permit many of the things that Saddam Hussein's forces did as not torture.
And if the president can order torture, he said, why not genocide? It was a bracing message for the man who is almost certain to be confirmed as the next Attorney General of the United States, Alberto Gonzalez. For despite all the criticism yesterday, all Senate Republicans are expected to vote for the nominee, as are plenty of Democrats. The political climate is hardly ripe for a challenge to a newly reelected president. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.